Well, hello and welcome once again to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast right here on the Just Jesus Network. Oh, what a joy it is to be able to join you and have you join me through this miracle of the airwaves. Oh, yes. God is in control. He is indeed. Listen, I read off the top. I got a question for you. Are you ready? Okay. What's a pastor? What is a pastor? What is a pastor? Because I asked you first now. Come on. Caught you, didn't I? If I asked the average man or woman on the street, what's a pastor? The first answer I get is, pastor, is that like a sheep herder? No. I think most people know what a pastor is. Anyway, I've titled my message. Now, it might sound a little bit distant when I give you the name, but you see why I call it this as we move along to it, okay? I call my message The Three Omnis. The Three Omnis. All right? Okay. Now, one of the people I asked, what was a pastor to? I got to get this one out of the way because it was kind of humorous in a way, really. Pastor, is that... Is that like a sheep herder? No. I got it. It's like what they do to milk to kill all the germs. Yeah, it's pasteurized. I'm sorry for that little bit of humor there, but you know, it doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt, does it? No. And then finally, I gotta add this. Then finally, I usually get this little gem. Pastor. I can use it in a sentence. If that's okay, I can use it in a sentence. Pastor. Okay. I had a blind date all lined up to meet me in front of the theater. But when I saw how ugly she was... I just walked past her. When I saw how ugly she was, I just walked past her. Oh, well, anyway, enough of that. Time to get serious. Let us see what Webster has to say about a pastor. Pastor, spiritual overseer, especially a clergyman serving the local church or parish. Now, is a pastor and a priest, an evangelist, and a reverend all in the same? All one and the same, are they? Well, yes, in a way, but only in part. Only in part, and that's important, according to what they believe. You see, just because they carry the title of pastor and priest and evangelist and reverend, and what have you, it doesn't mean they believe in what the Word of God really says or how to convey it. The main difference is between them and the God and the Word they serve. Have they got that? The main difference is between them and the God and the Word they serve. The Word, of course, being God. Interesting. The real questions are wrapped up in the title of my message, The Three Omnis. The Three Omnis. Do you believe in an omniscient God? A God who knows everything, knows all? Do you? Well, do you believe in an omnipresent God, a God who is everywhere, do you? And do you believe in the omnipotent God, omnipotent God, a God who is all-powerful. Wow. Almighty, having unlimited authority and influence. There we have them, folks. The three omnis, the title of my message. The three omnis. Tell me, is the God you serve, is the God you serve now, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent? Do you serve the holy and righteous God of the Bible? Because that's what He is. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. If you say, yes, you believe in this God I'm bringing forth, then my follow-up question is, which Bible version do you use? Whoa, I slipped that one in there pretty neat, didn't I? Which Bible version do you use? Now, a lot of people are going to say, excuse me, what's the difference? What does it matter? A Bible's a Bible. No. You see, there are over 400 versions, yes, over 400 versions, and there are no two exactly alike. No two exactly alike. Well, this means that if no two Bible versions are alike, then are there multiple gods? Multiple gods and ways of following Him? And if so be it, then how shall we know which Bible version is correct? If we believe in all 400 plus, how do we know which one is correct? If you fill a bag with apples and oranges, tell me, are they all alike? Well, of course not. If my King James 1611 Bible and your New King James Bible are supposed to be of God, then... But are and must they not be the same? We must then assume that God made or blessed both versions. Are you getting what I'm saying here? I pray so. If no two Bible versions are exactly alike, according to God's Word, I know what you're thinking. You're going to say, maybe not. The writing of the Scriptures is not quite the same, but it means the same thing. No, hogwash. Now, I'm going on the assumption, and I believe this firmly in my mind, or I wouldn't be preaching this message, that the King James 1611 Authorized Version Bible is the real truth of Almighty God, and I will stick to that till the day that God takes me home. Yes, I will. Do you think that God added updated versions because He discovered we had made mistakes in the originals? So He threw these other ones in, like the NIV and the ASV and all that, because He thought He made or could have made mistakes. But see, God doesn't make mistakes. Or God added the New King James for those who couldn't understand the originals, or hard copy the originals, or hard copy. People, hang in there, it gets worse by using multiple Bible versions, are we not implying that our omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent God had second thoughts? So we wrote 400 plus other versions just in case we wouldn't understand them. Or He wasn't sure that He wrote the right one in the first place. I know what you're thinking. Oh, Lord, where am I coming from? That's ridiculous, Why quibble over, Bible versions? Let's just believe in the cross and that's it. Okay. If that's what you want, you go right ahead. But God, did God have second thoughts? Or even worse, He wasn't sure the first time of what he was doing? Did God make a mistake? Heaven forbid. Oh, not the God I serve. No way, no way, Jose. No, not the God I worship. Not the God who rained hell fire upon the multitudes. And not the God who split the waters of the Red Sea to welcome his children to the promised land. And I'll go a step further. Not the God who sacrificed his only begotten Son to make it possible for a sinner like me to enter his glorious presence, while the devil trembled in the corridors of hellfire, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Greater. Keep that in the back of your mind. Greater is he that is in you, if you truly believe, than he that is in the world. So, the three omnis, God is omnipresent, right? That means, and God is omnipotent, and God is omniscient. He's everywhere. He's all-powerful. He knows all things. Omnipresent, he's everywhere. Omnipotent, he's all-powerful. Omniscient, he knows everything. And he knows all things. That's everything. All things. Okay? So, even if you could be in two places at the same time, which you can't, bear in mind, God, the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, the God I serve, is everywhere, anytime, all the time. They got that? Wow. Staggers the mind, doesn't it? Remember when you were a child and your mom told you to go to the store to pick up some bread for supper? Yeah, I remember those days. And your dad came along suddenly and said, look, cut the grass before you go to the store. Then would you not have to decide which one you are going to do first? Since you couldn't be in two places at the same time doing two different things. Well, I got news for you. You ready? The God of the Bible can. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Okay? Well, that's all you need to know, isn't it? If you want to believe it. Case number two. God is all powerful. God is all powerful. That's interesting, isn't it? Yes. You may have heard this silly example before. Listen carefully. Can God do everything? Yes, he can. Can he make a rock so big that he can't lift it? Can he make a rock so big that he can't lift it? Well, the response to that question is yes. God can make a rock so big that he cannot lift it. But, why should he? Why should he? To please a fool like you or me? You must understand something, people. Our omnipotent and omnipresent God, because he is also omniscient, that knows all things, he also knew, and now get this, he also knew you would ask such a stupid question. Does that hurt? Does that bother you? However, being the loving and merciful God He is, He says in His Word, He says in His Word now, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He will give you rest. Not only your body, your mind, your soul. Such a rest is not, like I say, not only of the body and of the mind, but also, and more importantly, of the spirit. Of the spirit and soul. Of the spirit and soul. We serve an omniscient God. All right? We serve an omniscient God. All-knowing. All-powerful. And all-present. He knows everything. He's all-powerful. And He's everywhere. You can't do that or be that, can you? So, although you may try, and I know a lot of people do it. You know, for the unsaved, those who don't believe or can't make up their mind, well, they live in a world of real make-believe. Make-believe. I say real because that's exactly what it is to their finite minds. They believe what they want to. If they can't see it or feel it, then it ain't real. But they'll still boast about their dreams and feelings. How real they are to them. I had a dream last night. It was just so real. I was standing down there on the road and this car come along and it was just going to hit me, and suddenly I reached out my hand and I said, "Stop, car," and it stopped. I know that's a foolish example, but if you don't believe that there's a God, then you'll believe anything. Have you got that? If you don't believe in a God, then you believe in anything. As for that which is spiritual and good, but not seen, well, if it doesn't work for them, the unbelievers, then God is just another star to wish upon. Another star to wish upon. Oh, how is it with you? One day. One day. Never. I've called my message the Three Omnis specifically to outline the spiritual embodiment of our great God. That's why. This is what He's made up of. God, who made mankind, not that we might fulfill our own fleshly desires, other than that which God has willed, but that we, His creation, would serve Him, our Creator, as the all in all. God is, God ever shall be. He's all powerful. He's everywhere. And He knows what's going on right now in your heart. He knows exactly what's going on right now in your heart. As we read about the Old Testament times, you'll notice the phrase, "And the Spirit of God came upon them." The Spirit of God came upon them. It doesn't say the Spirit of God indwelt them. It came upon them, or He came upon them. Excuse me. You may ask, came upon them, indwelt, what's the difference? What's the difference? Well, here's the difference. Listen carefully. if I pour water upon you, it becomes a cleansing agent for the external, right? But if you consume the water, then it becomes a vital component for the internal. I'm going to repeat that because I think it's just so important. If you pour water upon you, if you pour water upon you, it becomes a cleansing agent for the external, the outward, right? The flesh. But if you consume the water, then it becomes a vital component for the internal, right? We need water to survive, right? Thus it is with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came upon many of the Israelites who were chosen by God to pursue His perfect will. I repeat, came upon them. I did not say indwelt them. The official indwelling of the Holy Spirit was preceded by the cross. After the shedding of blood. After the shedding of blood. That's not so hard to understand, is it? No. But it is for many very difficult to accept, isn't it? Very difficult to accept. And that's what it's like with most of the things of God, with the scriptures. For many, they are difficult to accept. Until, there's a big word, big little word, big important word, until you give yourself over to Jesus Christ, until you believe that He went to that cross at Calvary, suffered and bled and died for the sins of the whole world. Can you do that? Now, this is not a trick question now. You have to understand what I'm saying here is ultra important. It's the only way you can make true contact with God the Father is through the Son and what took place at Calvary. Now, let me ask you another question. Your son, do you have a son? Okay, a lot of people do. Many people do. Okay, now, if your son were to come to you and said, God told me that I have to be crucified so I can save your soul. What would you say to your son? You'd say, just hang on there, boy. I'm going to call the doctor. We'll get down there right as fast as we can. Right? But that's all right. I mean, we know that's not true. That cannot be. That's not believing in God. But believing in God the Father has a different approach. And it's the only real application that can lead you to glory. You want to know what it is? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God created the universe. He created this planet that we're on. He created everything that's here about us. Now, if you say, well, I don't know about that. I believe He may have created some things, not everything. Well, then you don't believe in God. Because God is all-knowing, all-powerful. You have to first believe in God, the Almighty. And if you can believe in that, then you must follow up with, I believe that God gave His only begotten Son. And if you can believe in that, then you must believe in who went to the cross at Calvary, suffered and bled and died for the sin of the whole world. That's your sin. My sin. Why would God do that? Because He loved us. He still loves us. He loves all the sinners, but He doesn't love what they do. You know, as you look around you, I mean, in the world we live in today, what's going on south of the border, what's going on in foreign countries, God has lost his preeminence. Now, I'm not saying that God is forgotten completely. I mean, there are pockets of holiness. There are pockets of resistance that stand up for God. But these are failing. They're failing. Because we, who don't believe in what the Scripture tells us, are letting them down. We're not praying for them as much as we should. We're not sending allies to help them overcome the enemy who wants our God to be a dead God. You getting my drift here? Believe in the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Shall make you free. No two ways about it. So how is it with you now? Do you believe in a real, powerful, loving, all-knowing God? Do you? Do you believe in the three omnis? Huh? Do you believe that God is omniscient? He knows all. Do you believe God is omnipresent? He is everywhere. Do you? Oh, I hope you do. I pray you do. Because God is your only way of escape from the penalties of sin. The penalty of sin. And that penalty, you can believe it or not, but I guarantee you, by the word of God, that you will one day think, why are you in hell? Why are you in hell where the worm dieth not? You will think because your mind will always be aware of what took place in your life. And you can't do a single solitary thing about it. That's my message for today. It's my prayer that if you're not sure about the three omnis of God, then I urge you to seek them out and apply them to your life right now, because tomorrow is promised to no one. May God bless you if you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.